Hey, friends, and welcome back to Faith Fueled Woman. This is your host, Kristen. Today, I am talking to a Christian fiction author who went from stay-at-home mom to writing 3 books in just a handful of years. It's an inspiring story. It's going to talk about her call to step into something new and get out of her comfort zone. So I can't wait to share it with you. Welcome to Faith Fueled Woman, a podcast designed for Christian women eager to deepen their faith and shine God's light in every aspect of their lives. Each week, we'll delve into practical strategies, inspiring stories, and biblical wisdom to equip you with the tools you need to navigate life's challenges and grow deeper in your faith. From finding calm in the chaos, forming deep Christian friendships, to everyday ways to connect with God, we'll cover it all. Hi, I'm your host, Kristen. I'm an encourager, a faith-led entrepreneur, a mom, and a wife. Let's be encouraged in our everyday lives as we let our faith guide us, fuel us, and fill us with God's incredible peace, wisdom, and joy in our lives. Hi, today on the podcast, I would like to welcome our guest, Farah Adkins. She's a Christian fiction author and freelance writer, and she hopes to pass along the comfort that comes from having a personal relationship with Jesus while offering her readers a brief escape from life struggles through the action-packed story full of suspense, twists, turns, love, and a few laughs. In other words, her passion is for sharing her faith through fiction. And she actually has written a trilogy. She's written 3 books, Truth in the Name, Truth in the Word, and Never Forget the Truth. And her third book is actually coming out today. So I'm so excited for her to join us today. And not only has she written these books, her story about stepping into writing and not having experience and just God calling that on her heart is just, it's so inspiring. Or the Truth in the Name book, she received a 3rd place in the Sela Awards in the category for first novel. She's also had freelance articles published in Focus on the Family and Faith on Every Corner. And she blogs on her faith website, which you can also check that out. So I can't wait to talk today to her about what God can do with, you know, use us, talking about overcoming our challenges. What does God really want us to get done in a day? And then stepping out of our comfort zone and doing something new that God has on your heart. So I want to welcome her today. Welcome, Farah.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Absolutely. So can you first just share with us a little bit about your backstory? What did life look like? How did you step into writing? And then what does life look like now?
Well, writing, that whole journey has been sort of a big surprise. You know, I was a stay-at-home mom for 18 years. Prior to that, I worked in banking. I had no writing experience, no education in writing. But, you know, as my kids got older, I started to feel that, you know, God was calling me to do something a little bit more. My kids still needed me and I still wanted to be at home for them. But yet I felt like I was like just doing this circle, this daily circle, and not really accomplishing anything new or for God. So I just kept praying about this and thinking, you know, I really never thought of myself as having any talents or gifts. Mm-hmm. So that was a real struggle for me, you know, with self-esteem and thinking, you know, well, I don't have anything to offer, but I kept praying about it. And I've always loved to read and I love Christian fiction because, you know, you can sit down and dive into a thrilling novel or suspense without reading anything bad.
Right.
And you can get a message of faith. So one morning I had an idea for a novel, you know, and I had never written anything more than an essay. So I thought, well, I'll give it a try. So over the next year, just in my spare time between helping kids with homework and this and that, I actually finished this novel. And just about the time that I finished, there was a conference near me that I could afford to go to because it was within driving distance and it had some of my favorite authors. And my husband encouraged me to go. So I signed up, which it was still a few months out at that point. But the only stipulation was that you had a Christian fiction novel in the works. So I signed up. But the closer it got, you know, I had started feeling like I wasn't going to fit in. You know, those little whispers, oh, you can't do this. Yeah. You can't go. You have no writing experience. But prior to that, I had written a little article and submitted to Focus on the Family, just trying to build a resume, thinking, you know, well, if I'm going to do this, I need to start trying to build a little resume. But I thought the chances are so slim. They have to receive so many submissions. There's no chance. And, you know, by this point, a couple of months had passed and I had forgotten all about that submission. So it's the day before the conference and I'm really thinking of backing out because I'm not going to fit in with experienced authors and writers. And that day before I was supposed to leave, I got an email from Focus on the Family wanting to purchase that first article I had ever written. Mm-hmm. So I felt, okay, God, this is your nudge. I'm supposed to go. So I go to the conference and I don't feel out of place, but you know, you still got that little voice inside. And I remember one of the speakers was talking about social media. And as she stepped away from the podium, she was several steps away and she just stops. And she turns around and goes back to the podium. And she said, I don't know why, but I felt the need to come back and say that I had no experience. I was a stay-at-home mom. And everything I learned was on my own. And I thought, okay, that's my second little nudge. So I leave the conference and I go home and make a few tweaks to my manuscript that I had learned while I was there and let some family and friends read it. Everybody encouraged me to submit it to publishers. But as I researched, I realized I didn't have a chance because everything I read said traditional publishers wanted you to already have a big following before they would look at you. I didn't even have Facebook. So I set up a website and started trying to write, you know, just some notes from my Bible study. And I set up a Facebook account that, you know, really had almost just a handful of friends on there because I had no social network. I'd been a stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm. But within a couple of months, I had a contract with a traditional publisher on that very first novel. And not just the first novel published, but the first one I had ever written. And that's why I can say that there is no other explanation than it was in God's plan. You know, and that's just the message I want to share, that if God has that plan for your life, he will make a way. It doesn't matter what the rules say.
Oh my gosh, I love it. It's so good. And like you said, yes, there are, you know, this has happened to people, but we don't believe it does because we see so many people, like you said, the traditional way of building something or starting in an industry is that you have to have this big following and you have to, you know, put the time in and, you know, maybe self-publish first. Like there's all these steps, and whether it's writing or something else, the point is that's what we're told, but that's not how it works in God's economy, right? That's not how it works. He works on a different timeline and he works in a different way. And so I love when people share how things actually happened for them. But one thing I'd say is I don't want anybody to feel discouraged if for you, it doesn't just work, you know, as seamlessly at the beginning, because of course, for some of us, right, it's going to take longer because God might be teaching us something. We might not be ready. You know, the timing might not be ready. So there's all these things, but I think the important part is that you stepped out in faith. You felt that nudge or that desire to possibly start, you know, beginning to write. And so you were just faithful to show up and start writing to see where would that lead, right? You didn't know where it would lead. You just knew, let me take the step. Let me try this and see how it goes. And so I think that's what's so amazing about it, right? And encouraging is you were willing to step out of your comfort zone. You know, you were willing to do things that you had never done before. And so what could you share with us about that? Like God was calling you to this, to do this new thing. You felt this nudge. But it was something that was not in your comfort zone. So what would you just share with people that might be thinking like, no way. Like, I don't know if I could do that or something similar for myself.
Well, you know, and that was it completely. So many things about this have pulled me out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, I had decided at one point, right after the first book was published, to go around to some local bookstores and see if they would carry my book. And so I pull into this major bookstore. And I'm sitting there in the car thinking, this is the most ridiculous thing I have ever done in my life. Mm-hmm. I have one book that just came out. I have, you know, hardly any followers. No one knows who I am. And I'm going to go in and say, hey, will you put my book on your shelf?
Right.
But I got out and I went in and they even invited me to come back and do book signings.
Yeah.
And now at this point, I've done several book signings with them. And now I've done several podcasts, and before I would have taken off running completely in the other direction from public speaking. But I keep feeling on my heart that, you know, when you think about all that the Lord has done for us and that nudge, and I keep telling myself, how can I not if I feel that he's calling me to do that? And I think it comes someone once said in Colossians 3:23, you know, we're doing it for the Lord. So that's what I keep trying to tell myself, is that I talk to him every day. So when I get in front of this camera, I'm talking to him. It's not an easy, you know, it's not like I'm a best-selling author or that my books took off overnight, because I had no following. But I think it's important to know that when God puts something on our heart to do, that it's not like the way we think of things. Right. He may be calling us to do something that's only intended to reach one person, mm-hmm. that one sheep, you know, as the world's rules are not his rules.
Yeah.
So what our purpose is may be only to reach one person, but if we reach that one person, we've done what we were supposed to do.
Absolutely. You know, and I had written down to at some point to share this quote. I don't know if you read Mark Batterson's books. Yeah, he's a pastor in DC, so they're not fiction, but he's written a lot of books and I really enjoy them. But he says this because he speaks at writing conferences regularly. And so this, I'm sharing this not for just people that are aspiring to write, but just, this is really about whatever we're called, you know, God's calling us to do. But he says this, he says, when I speak at writing conferences, I ask would-be authors this critical question. Are you called to write? He says, if the answer is no, don't waste your time. If the answer is yes, then anything else, anything less is disobedience. He says, don't worry about getting an agent or finding a publisher. Write for an audience of one. Write as an act of obedience, right? But that's exactly what you're just getting at, which is just be faithful in doing what you feel that pull, that call, that nudge to do. And absolutely, whether it's podcasting or it's volunteering in your neighborhood or it's writing, you know, whatever the call is, like you said, we don't know if we're supposed to just have a conversation with one person, or our conversation on a podcast or writing is going to impact one person, 100 people, 1,000 people or more. That's not really our job, right? Our job is to show up and do the work. And then hopefully God will help put it in front of who it needs to get put in front of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so absolutely. So good. So what can you tell us about, you know, you shared that there's been days where, you know, whether it was when you were staying at home before you were writing or even since you've been writing. And I think a lot of people can relate to this idea that so many times we have our to-do lists. We have this expectation of what we should get done in our day. And when the end of the day comes, we can feel so frustrated when we think, oh my gosh, I didn't get through my list. Or I feel like, what did I actually accomplish today? Right. And it doesn't seem like it's that many things. And so what would you just share with us about that? I also felt similar to what you said. So what would you share?
Yes. And like I said, you know, I have obsessive compulsive tendencies. And when I wake up in the morning, you know, I have this list already formed in my mind straight away. And it's usually a list that no one could ever accomplish in a day, maybe not even in a week. Mm-hmm. But I have these goals that are just unattainable. And then you get halfway through the day, or then, you know, it's bedtime and you haven't even accomplished a quarter of the list, and you just feel frustrated and upset. And then, you know, that just makes the list for tomorrow that much longer, and you're just overwhelmed, and it almost paralyzes you from accomplishing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I deal with that, and, you know, it's still a struggle.
Yeah.
But I realized a while back that, I think I was in Walmart and I had this huge list on my mind of things I wanted to accomplish. And I started talking with this lady, I think it was by the banana display, but we were talking about faith, and I got in the car and I thought, but you know, that's what I was supposed to do today. And I started realizing that it's not about my list, but about what God's list is for me today. The day is his. He gave me this day. So it's not about my list, but about his. So each morning I try to start out in that mindset. And as I pray, Lord, that you would help me to accomplish what you want me to accomplish today instead of what I want to accomplish.
100%. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, it's fine. It just seems like when you go to bed that night, you realize, and it's so much more peaceful, because even if you didn't, you started on that mindset
mm-hmm.
of it's his list, not yours.
Yeah, absolutely. And this has happened to me as well too for years now, but prior to that, not so much. And I still have the tendencies to want to have the list and feel like, gosh, you know, even yesterday I had a list of things and I only got through a portion of them, you know, and I didn't feel bad about it, but it was like, gosh, I really did think I could get done more. But I've known for a long time that it's actually not in all that work I'm doing. Not that we don't want to do the work, right? Whatever we're here to do. But I've known that it's more in the people and the connections and what I'm speaking into my day and how I'm serving people. And so as long as I keep that mindset, you know, I know that it's the conversation I had going to see my, you know, visiting my dad or, you know, my family, you know, making food for my kids. Like, I have to remember that those are actually the important things. And it's not so much that I got, you know, edited 5 more podcasts. Those can wait. Like, all the other things, we can take more time, you know? Right. And so I love how you shared about that, because I think a lot of us can get in those tendencies, you know, of thinking we have to do more, we have to accomplish more in order to have even more worth in our day, but we don't. Right. And God's not asking us to do that. So I love that you shared that perspective and how you've sort of shifted it and how it shifted your day and how you show, I mean, how you are able to go to bed feeling more calm and peaceful. That's just beautiful. I love it. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your writing process as far as that first year, especially, but now you're 3 books in, you know, but how does that look for you? And, you know, what's the role of faith in the process?
Well, you know, all 3 books, it seemed that I went in, you know, I'm not a planner when it comes to writing, which is odd because of my obsessive compulsive tendencies, but, you know, it's like I have the message on my heart. And each day is a surprise, though, as to what's going to happen in the book. I write suspense thriller, so every day is a surprise. I don't know what's going to happen the next day. I just, you know, kind of just go with it. But that's one part of it, you know, is that it's the message of faith that was weighing on my heart, whatever message that I wanted to make sure that got woven into the book. And I just feel like those were things that God had put on my heart. But I tend to get my ideas for writing in the morning when I work out. I guess it's that adrenaline rush. So I guess that's why I'm not planning ahead. It's like each morning I have that idea. But I don't, you know, I would set goals for how many words to write per day after the first book, obviously, for the second and third book. You know, some days you accomplish that and some days you don't. You just come back to it the next day.
But,
you know, it's kind of strange because, you know, it is a trilogy, so most of the characters continue through all 3 books. So once I finished that third book, you know, and got to the last page and, you know, wrote the final words, it was kind of disheartening because I had become so attached to these characters that I almost wanted to cry that the books were over.
Yeah. Well, that's actually a good indication that it was a good job with the characters, right? Because when we read a book, whether it's actual fiction, in your case, or even nonfiction, but when we feel connected to the characters, right, that means the writer did a really good job of allowing us to really visualize and be part of that story. So, you know, that's amazing. I love it. So, yeah, what else would you just share with us about encouraging women to step into maybe what's on their heart? You know, like just those first steps, you know what I mean? Because I think it definitely is hard along the way, right? But I think it gets a little easier the more we're willing to step out of our comfort zone. So what might you share with the listeners about that?
Well, you know, it's not easy, you know, and, you know, every time I do a podcast, I am afraid because I have that anxiety. I have that phobia of public speaking. And it's just remembering that we're doing it for the Lord, that He is calling us to do that and keeping that faith and trusting Him that He is going to take us through it because He's calling us to do it. And, you know, I love the Psalms because, you know, I love how they have that emotional connection. Even though they were written so long ago, we still know those same emotions that we feel, like in Psalm 6, when David cries into his pillow. We all have those days, but we know that God is always there with us through that. Mm-hmm. So it's not just us that feels down or feels that whisper in our ear or, you know, saying we're not good enough or we can't do it. That's just the enemy trying to fight us. But it's just having that faith and saying, I will do it anyway. I will do it afraid and stepping out because of, you know, if you look at all the stories throughout the Bible, most of our heroes of faith, I mean, they, you know, it was not an easy walk of faith.
Right.
They had so many obstacles. And it's not going to be any different for us today. I mean, the enemy is always trying to trip us up. And, you know, that's a lot of what the characters in my book face, especially when we get to book three, when, you know, that emotional battle in our mind of, you know, he gets in our head, we're not good enough. He tries to isolate us and just pin us down. And that's a lot of what the character in book three is going through. But if we have ourselves armed with battle, our armor of God, I'm sorry, that sword of the Spirit, that we've studied God's word, we're ready and we are armed. We're on the offense. We already know the truth. So when the enemy comes whispering those lies, we have our defense. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important when we feel God calling us to do something. It's making sure that we're not just going on the fact that we know God's word, but that we're studying it daily so that we truly know God's word and have it in our heart.
Absolutely. It's so true. And you know, I love that you shared that. And you're right. So much as it is the battle is in our mind. You know, it's like you said, it's the lies or the untruths we tell ourselves about ourselves often, but about other things. And, you know, or that we can't do this or that we're not equipped, right? Or we don't have the experience. And just as you mentioned in the Bible, almost every story tells us that the person he called to do something had never done it before. He could have picked somebody that had more experience in almost every case. Mm-hmm. To do something, but that's not who he called, because he, first of all, we wouldn't need God, right? If we could do it on our own. And so, you know, it's that we need him. We have to work with him in order to, you know, show up and do what he's calling us to do in whatever season that we're in. You know, so I think you're so right. What about just overcoming challenges? You know, so you talked about it a little bit, but you know, that you said, you know, you're an introvert, so this is hard for you. And so you pray about it, you know, you have the armor of God, you're clear on sort of what he says about you and why you're doing this. But is there just anything else that you'd talk about for people that to overcome maybe what we're feel like we can't overcome? Is there just anything else you would add to that?
I think it comes down to just, you know, continuing to study God's word and following what he says. And trying to drown out those lies and staying diligent in prayer. You know, for me, it's doing my Bible study and doing my prayer first thing out of bed in the morning before that time gets away and starting off on that positive note. And I know this year, starting in January, my New Year's resolution was to memorize new scripture each week, mm-hmm. and, you know, be able to memorize it so well that I can sit and write it in my journal at the end of the week. And that has helped me a lot. And I've been really astonished at how, as the week progresses, just at, you know, the random verse that I've chose to memorize, how much it has helped me that week with whatever battle that, you know, I've had to face or whatever struggle. Mm-hmm. And I think that's it, is just staying in tune and starting our day off with that positive note that, you know, because of him, we're not consumed. You know, his mercies are new every morning. We wake up fresh every morning. Start off with that note that, you know, it's his day, and that positive thinking and focusing on him right when we get out of bed before the enemy has a chance to dive in and start causing that stir and paralyzing us or getting us too busy to focus,
right,
and go back and have our time with God.
Yeah. So good. Yeah. And even I even find that then just throughout my day, you know, just remembering to constantly give thanks to every mm-hmm. little thing, you know, so like a micro gratitude practice, you know, or thankfulness mm-hmm. practice, you know, just, oh my gosh, you know, thank you, God, for the beautiful flowers, you know, or the taste of this food. But it's to stay in that constant conversation, but mm-hmm. also remembering and acknowledging, right, everything that he's giving us, and also staying present in that moment instead of getting caught up in, you know, something else. And so I find that that's very helpful to me, to keep me present and have a peace about my day, you know, I keep going back to that place, you know, just mm-hmm. those little moments of giving thanks and gratitude, you know, mm-hmm. to God as well. Let me ask you this. What would you just want to encourage women if they're listening to this and thinking like, oh my gosh, I would love to write a book or to start, you know, some other activity that they maybe has been on their heart? Because, you know, there's also stories, you know, and for me, I bought my microphone I think 6 years before I started podcasting, but it was because I ended up taking a full-time consulting role with someone I wasn't expecting to take. So I didn't feel like I could do that and, you know, be doing that other job. But for instance, some people tell you, I've had this book on my heart for 20 years, for 10 years, right? This is a common theme, but a lot of times we don't act, and that's okay. Maybe we needed to acquire more information or knowledge. Maybe really the time wasn't right, but God's already put it on our hearts. So how would you just encourage women if maybe they have a desire on their heart? We all do for something. And so just to maybe take that first step or start researching it, is there anything you just share with them to encourage them in, you know, maybe taking it from a desire of their heart to actually taking action?
Well, you know, that first book, I'm going to be honest, I really thought that I would never finish it. I had never wrote a novel. Like I said, I had never wrote more than an essay before. So I really didn't believe I would ever finish that book, much less it ever be published. But it was kind of like, you know, I felt it on my heart and I was like, and I wanted to see if I could. So it was literally a few words here and there. You know, sometimes a week may pass, maybe 2 weeks had passed between writing because the kids would have an assignment or we would have something, you know, something more pressing to do. And it was all just in my spare time. So I think it comes down to baby steps. If you feel it, you know, if it's God's plan, if you just take those baby steps, He will, I think that He will help you follow through. It's just taking that initial act and keeping at it. It, you know, because it's not going to be an overnight. And like I said, I never imagined that first book would ever get published. It, that was not part of my plan in doing it. I thought, let's just see if I can do this. So I would say just take those baby steps, but most importantly, keep praying about it, that it is God's plan, and putting the message, you know, whatever message He has in your heart to share. And, you know, sometimes it's not, to me, I don't think it's about doing anything major. You know, I think about, you know, sometimes how many depressed or lonely people are out there and we pass right by them and don't hear their cry or don't even notice what's really going on with them. And I think sometimes it just comes down to just stopping or pausing. And, you know, we all struggle with this. I know I do, because you get that list in your mind and you're like, go, go, go. You're running through the grocery store as fast as you can. But sometimes it's just a simple smile or a hello, how are you doing, that could brighten somebody's day. Sometimes it's not this major feat, God calling us to do something major. It could just be a text or a note or a little phone call or just a simple hello.
Yeah, 100% agree with you on that. And, you know, it kind of goes back to what we were both saying about often it's actually just being present and paying attention, listening to those little urges. And like you said, a lot of times they're just a urge to have a conversation or to, like you said, to look up at somebody. Or maybe, you know, sometimes I feel just called to, you know, drop something off to a neighbor, you know, for no reason, right? Like, there's reasons we have these little, you know, inklings or feeling, you know, so absolutely, I agree with you. And yeah, it's not everyone's going to become a writer. Not everyone's going to start a podcast or be a speaker. It's showing up in our everyday lives, right? Mm-hmm. To be of service and to be present and to kind of listen to what God's calling us into in that day. So I absolutely agree with you on that. And then I also think with what you said about the tiny steps, you know, this idea is shown to us over and over in the Bible, but God is looking for us just to take a step in faith before He's going to then show us something more, right? So He's not just going to show us the whole path. He's not going to just be like, oh, here you go. You know, here's everything for you to write this book. He's waiting for us to be faithful and to take that little baby step so that the next thing can happen, the next thing. And so He is looking for us to step out in faith as well, you know, whether it's something small or whether it's something, you know, towards a bigger plan. So I think that that's so important as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So any last things that you want to share with us just about, I guess, maybe a scripture that most encourages you in your faith, or, you know, just like you talked about your morning practice of, you know, showing up and having time with God, but anything like that?
Well, you know, for me, Isaiah 40:31 has always been one of my favorite verses, because I think it shows our patience, but those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, sometimes it's not, every day is a struggle, for most of us, I mean, you know, we're always going to have those little hurdles. We have those mountaintops and we have those valleys.
Yeah.
And we have to go through those valleys to get to the next mountaintop.
Yeah.
But if we wait on Him and we keep our trust in Him, we're never alone in those valleys. And the next mountaintop will be better than the one before. We just have to keep holding on and trusting as we go through those valleys. And, you know, I also sign in all my books, for with God, nothing shall be impossible, because I've seen that through. That's how I feel about my writing journey, that none of it would have happened without Him. And like I said, you know, I'm not a best-selling author. I was a stay-at-home mom. So, you know, just being able to get my books out there and let people know they exist has been a struggle. Yeah. But, you know, like I said, they may, you know, if it's only for one person that gets that message. And I think another thing is, in my book 3, it's kind of got a twofold message about, you know, having your sword sharpened and ready. And that's how the character, you know, fights that battle, is through already knowing the truth and utilizing that truth to battle. But also the impact that we have, not just in our words, but in everything that we do, that if we say that we're a Christian, we need to be following God's word and representing Christ to the best of our ability in everything that we do. And, you know, none of us are perfect. If we were, Christ wouldn't have had to die for us. And we're going to make mistakes, but we need to make sure that we're not intentionally doing anything that goes against God's word, because that may be the only witness others ever see. And if we're doing something that counteracts Christ, then that could actually push someone away from becoming a Christian. So I think, you know, that's one of the other messages in book 3, is being cautious and diligent in trying to make sure that we're growing in Christ and following God's word. And, you know, in book 1, another one is that no one can snatch us out of His hand. Yeah. That's another one. You know, it doesn't matter how much that the devil tortures and tempts us and tries to trip us up. If we believe Christ and we've accepted Him as our Savior, we can never be taken away from Him. We belong to Him, and nothing can change that. Even though all the things in this world can change, that's the one thing that can never change, and we'll have eternity with Him.
Oh, so good. Said so well. I love it. So, Farah, can you share with us, how can people go and get your books, learn about your blog, and all of the other good things?
Well, all of my books are available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. April 2nd, the third book comes out. Right now, you can see it in ebook, but the paperback will also be showing on Amazon on April 2nd. You can also find them online. I think Walmart, Barnes & Noble, most of your major booksellers carry them online, but they're available on Amazon too. My website is fdadkins.com. You can check out my blog there. And also the book trailers are on the homepage. So if you want to watch the book trailer, see if it's something you would like. But I don't know if you can see, this is book 1, Truth in the Name, Truth in the Word. And then the third one is Never Forget the Truth. Mm. And they're all available on Amazon.
I love it. And I was telling Farah before we recorded, I haven't gotten to finish them yet, or the first two yet, but I've started them and they're really good. And I'm very much looking forward to finishing them. So definitely go check those out. And I just want to thank you again, Farah, for coming on and joining us, sharing your story, sharing your process and journey of stepping into becoming a fiction writer, a freelance writer, and just, you know, sharing those so much positive, you know, and hopeful messages of our faith, and just encouraging us as, you know, we walk forward in our faith journeys together. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's such a blessing to be able to come and share. And I've just so enjoyed this.
Absolutely. Thank you. I just want to wrap up today's episode with a excerpt from the book Chase the Lion by Pastor Mark Batterson, who I mentioned earlier. And he says, "I don't know what dream God has given you, but it's a dream within a dream called creation. It's also a story within a story called redemption. God is writing His story through you, and it always starts with a dream. You may not see yourself as a dreamer, but you are one. You have dreams that you aren't even aware of, dreams you haven't thought of as dreams. If you're a parent, for example, you have a dream. You even gave your dream a name when he or she was born. Now, let me narrow down the aperture a little bit. And then he goes on later to say, dream dreams, that's the natural, supernatural byproduct of being filled with God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit can and does perform inception. He implants dreams deep within the human spirit, three levels down. He also extracts dreams that have been dead and buried for decades, bringing them back to life. And he can do it in 1,000 different ways. For Wilbur Wright, it was a book he read at 29. For me, it was a sermon I heard at 19. For David, it was the day a prophet showed up on his doorstep. So just like Farah shared with us today, she had that dream and that desire in her heart to try to write a fiction book. And so she took that step forward. She took an act of faith and moved her pen on paper or her typing onto her computer. So just like her, try to reignite that passion, reignite those dreams in your own life and see where God will take you with it. Thanks again for listening to the show. And if you enjoyed today's episode, we would love it if you could take a minute to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts because it helps our show get discovered by more people. And if you'd like to be encouraged in your faith and in your life, go on to kristenfitch.com and sign up to get my newsletter. I have lots of freebies and lots of inspiration and encouragement that'll be coming your way. And I would love it if you joined part of our community.